took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, good evening or good morning. Again, we're very flexible people here.
Very flexible.
that was Pastor Barry, and I'm Pastor David. Welcome to Glorious Day. And it is a glorious day, wherever you might be, even if the sun isn't shining yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if it's 5:30 in the morning, we're pretty much sure it's not going to be shining.
Ever so true, Dave.
I know very few things, but I do know that. The theme for this episode is healing in the perfect will of God. And we both believe in healing. I have received divine healing from the Lord. I've known other people that have had immediate healing. The unfortunate thing is in 27 minutes and 14 seconds or whatever that we can't cover the entire waterfront of healing. But there is one story, and Barry's going to read this, from the Gospel of John that most of you be familiar with. And we're going to talk about healing and faith pretty much in the context of that story. So, Barry, would you go ahead and do that?
Yes, sir. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. That is truly the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it has common elements to all the healing stories in the Gospels, but there also is a couple of things unique to this story.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of where we're going to just pick up on that. And we're letting the Holy Spirit run this. I do want to say to our listeners, as an kind of an umbrella comment, there are some people in the church today, and I'm not disparaging them, but they really have a hard time believing that miracles happen today. And so their belief generally comes from the attitude that when the last apostle died, all the miracles stopped. Now, most of our listeners aren't there. You know, they don't believe that. And frankly, I'm just telling you, again, not to disparage if that's what you believe, but if you look around and talk to people that have received the grace of healing, you know it can't be true. There are miracles today. I've seen them. I've had them happen in my life, not just of healing, but other moments when miraculous grace
entered
my life.
And as ministers of this gospel, as people who are called upon to pray for the sick and in some cases the dying, as both of us have a background in chaplaincy,
yes,
we've seen some things that can't be explained, and that's supernatural. And I can't help but think this is not only a blessing for whomever the sick person is,
yes,
a blessing for us as well, and a blessing for anybody who's witnessing this,
because
if they were on the fence about believing and then they're met with this irrational thought, this unprovable result,
yes,
it causes great pause.
Absolutely.
I have a story.
Okay. And once you have a story,
you have a story.
I have a story.
Early in my walk as a pastor, I had one foot in medicine. I was still calling upon doctor's offices and buildings that, you know, care for the sick. And I went to one of my favorite doctor's offices, and one of my favorite people is this Italian woman who grew up not far from me in New York. And she was just a friendly soul. Mm. She'd light up the room with her smile. She calls herself a fat old happy Italian grandmother.
I love those people.
Lovely person. Yeah. And I walked in one day, and she wasn't at her desk. And I asked the staff, well, where is she? And they were all dabbing their corner of their eyes with a handkerchief, and they pointed to a back office. Now, I hadn't seen her in a few months, but when I walked in, I have to tell you, David, I was shocked.
Mm.
She had what appeared to be a giant goiter, I guess you might call it. It was actually a tumor in her throat that was blasting out the side of her neck. It was probably the size of a baseball.
Wow.
And it had been biopsied, and it was cancerous.
Wow.
And she was going in for surgery where they were going to do something called a radical neck. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that, but
I haven't.
They take a good portion of the neck.
Ah.
And it's not something that always works. It just completely deforms you. You lose your larynx and everything. You can't talk anymore. And it's a terrible treatment.
Mm.
So I saw her crying, and she pointed, and she could barely speak. She said, it's cancer. Now, I have no power. You have no power.
None.
But if we have great faith in the power of Christ as our physician, we need not put anything off. We need not stop and experience our analysis paralysis of the situation. You just step forth in faith and you go.
Right.
I stepped around her desk and I said, no. No. Jesus is going to remove this from you. I just know this. And I put holy oil on her throat, and she cried, and I prayed because she couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And anywho, the next day she was supposed to go in where they were going to do one more CT scan and then cut her open. I stopped by the next afternoon. She wasn't in the hospital. She was sitting at her usual desk. Tears running down her face. I got a huge bear hug that fixes one spot in my back. And all she could say is, it's gone.
Praise God.
And I said, it's gone. She said, I'm quoting the radiologist, it's gone.
Wow.
There's no evidence there was ever anything there, but they had her x-ray next to the CT scan, and they didn't match.
Well, they wouldn't if it was a baseball-sized tumor.
That's right.
Goodness.
It was gone. And
gone.
I believe what happened there, yes, she went through it, David. She went through that fear because she wants to see her little grandkids grow up.
Yeah.
But the staff, the physician that she works for, the radiologist, and the surgeon who was waiting to cut, cannot explain this.
Mm.
Cannot explain this. Because you can't.
No. Uh-uh.
You know, there's no reason why this should have worked in our little puny minds.
Sure.
But God had a plan. He still has a plan for her. She's still kicking. This was years ago.
Wow.
And it just, for me, I just lit up. David, I could have danced out of the building and waltzed across the parking lot to my car. God is so good and so powerful and so complete.
And this is, your story lifts out one of the aspects of the gospel stories about healing, and that is that the person being healed may certainly be willing to receive prayer, but doesn't often believe it's going to work.
Mm, that's right.
You know, now, I think... So the question, I'm going to tell my story in a minute because it tracks along with this, but the question is does everyone who is healed need to believe that Jesus can heal before they get healing? Because there are some people that will say flat out, yes, every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's a rigidity, theological rigidity that we need to rethink because it not every time. Now, this lady was happy to receive prayer. We don't know where her faith life was. My guess is she was probably a good, faithful, church-going lady and had some sense of God and probably of Jesus. But whether she was a stone-cold believer or not...
We don't know.
We don't know. And that because that did not come out in your experience with her, suggests that she may not have been, but that she was open. A little bit, and that's all that God needs.
Open the door just a little bit.
Open the door. He won't force anything on us, but if we're willing to receive. But I think we could say with a lot of accuracy that this lady did not have an immense, you know, faith uncluttered by doubt. Probably, I'm saying, because that's what often people, some Christian folks say, well, if you have that, grace will just come flowing and into your, you know, but you can't doubt. Well, you know, folks, I don't believe that.
Well, yeah, look at his apostles. Peter was doing just fine in the water till he had doubt.
Yeah, really, exactly. But he was doing what Jesus told him to do until he took his eyes off of it. Well, the other story, the story I was going to tell you now, it is not my story, mm-hmm. and but it is one I heard many years ago from a lady who was part of a ministry team that had come to our church.
Okay.
And, oh, man, what an awesome weekend that was. Just God moving through this group. And one of the aspects of what they were doing is that no one would stand up and share unless the Holy Spirit had urged them to. So okay. we were getting powerful Holy Spirit testimonies that you would know if you were a spiritual person, you would feel those spiritual vibes in your heart, you know, like God was really saying, this is true, pay attention. And so, again, now this lady was also kind of like the guy in the gospel story who had been coming to the pool for 38 years.
Okay.
But her story is this. She had suffered from an increasing debilitation from what's that worst kind of arthritis? The
psoriatic?
Or well, it was rheumatoid crippling. Or? It's a crippling okay. on to the point where your joints are so deformed, you know, you can't hardly move, you can't walk, you're always in pain. So this was getting to the point where she was really, she didn't know what to do, you know. And she was a churchgoer, but she'd stopped going much because of the fact she had so much pain and debilitation. But a friend of hers, they were having a healing mission at the friend's church. In fact, it was this lady's church too, but she hadn't been going. But they urged her to come. Finally, she agreed, but she agreed with great sense of doubt. You know, I'll come to make you happy, but I've been asking God to heal me, and He hasn't healed me yet. You know. So anyway, they sat in the back of the church, and when the time came for the healing service. And they invited people to come up, and her friends helped her, really needed to help her get to the front of the church. Hands were, obviously, she told them what, rheumatoid arthritis is what. Hands were laid on her, prayers were made, holy oil was anointed on her forehead and her joints. And, you know, I mean, it was a tremendous, her friends recognized a tremendous move of the Spirit, but she was so full of doubt. You know, like the guy, 38 years, I'm coming to the pool and nothing's happened, you know. And so she had been, for 20 years anyway, she had been slowly debilitating. So anyway, no healing. Her friends help her back to the pew.
Okay.
End of the service, they take her home. She's kind of down. Anyway, she gets ready for bed, goes to bed. Morning comes, the alarm goes off. And then this is verbatim from her testimony. The alarm went off. I lifted off the covers and I jumped out of bed.
When was the last time she'd done that?
20 years ago.
Yeah.
That in the night, God healed her. I mean, and this, I'm still getting bumps, Holy Spirit bumps about this, because this was a time early in my Christian walk when I'd read the scriptures about healing. I never met anybody that actually been healed, you know.
Right.
Now, until I look back with the eyes of Jesus, and He showed me times when He did that, but I didn't know it. But the point was, this lady standing up there, and this was maybe 10 years after her healing, in her late 60s, lovely, standing straight and tall, you know.
Wow.
Every joint, you know, down to the size it needs to be. There was no rheumatoid arthritis anywhere in her body. And at that point, of course, you know, she had to proclaim her healing. And and then, you know, she really opened her heart up to Jesus, finally asked Him in, you know, instead of Him just standing outside knocking.
Oh, now I'm getting the bumps.
Really? Yeah. It's powerful stuff. But she was another guy. Here's this guy, like her, going a long time, maybe God isn't interested in me. To the point where I think, yeah, she was probably not able to go. She was probably in a lot of pain, and going to church, you know, was hard, but it made easier. Her decision not to go was made easier because she was a little upset with God. You know, now this points out another thing, is that God heals us. He heals us in accordance with his perfect will, which means his perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, the listener, if you have a need for healing, if someone's prayed for you and it hasn't happened, first of all, don't blame them because they're just being instruments of God. And don't blame God because the time for that healing hasn't come yet. Now, you can pray for it. You can be relentless in prayer because God says, you know, pray all the, you know, you can keep asking, laying it before him, thanking him for the healing you haven't received yet in the flesh. But yet God has decided in the spirit. Say, well, what does that mean? That means faith.
Amen,
right?
Brother.
Faith.
That's right.
Faith.
You know what I also love about this this particular gospel story is Jesus commands during the process. In other words, he gives specific physical commands. He says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. He didn't say, gee whiz, I hope this works.
You know? No.
Get up. And I find in all the stories I hear from people whose lives have been changed, they were given a verbal command to do something.
Yep.
And well, recently I opened up an office for the Benedictines, and I didn't know why. I still don't know why.
Right.
But God was very specific. Go there, do this. Why? I'll tell you later. Go there and do this. So some people, if they're going through this process where they're in pain or perhaps even diagnosed with a terminal illness, and then Jesus comes along saying, I want you to go there and do this and then do this. Requires a couple of steps on their part, a little effort on their part.
Exactly.
Now, you touched on that at the beginning of this evening's program. You know, he didn't just walk up to this guy and heal him. He had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Exactly.
And, you know, he has to put forth some information, a little effort. You know, it's a little whiny. Dave and I were talking about this earlier before Yeah, he sounds a little whiny there for a minute, but all turns out just fine in the end. But you have to wonder what happened to him after this. I always wonder about these B characters, David. What happens in the rest of their life? Do they become evangelists? Do they strike out across Europe? Where did he go? He had a huge story to tell.
He did. We don't know. A lot of the people that Jesus healed, they disappear from the history of the Bible after the story's over. But we can assume that many of them follow Jesus at that point, you know. And this guy, you know, if I were this guy, but I would say good chances that he finally got his head straight, because here was Jesus. You know, besides, as we all know, you said earlier about Jesus had a conversation with him, because God isn't going to force anything on anybody, even when it's a wonderful thing like healing, you know. And so Jesus, you know, asks him, he saw him lying there, he says that he knew he'd already been there for a long time. Here's the question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Now, listener, you might think that, well, duh, of course I do, you know, but it's a legitimate question. I was telling Barry, you know, we had a mutual a friend, a member of our home church at one time, who had some serious illnesses, and we're having laying on of hands and anointing for healing. And I went to this person and I laid my hands on her. And I've known this person for over 20 years. But
that's right.
I often will ask somebody, do you want to be healed? And so I looked at her and I said, do you want to be healed? Her answer was, what, do you think I'm stupid?
If you could only see this little lady who's 4 foot nothing,
she's a lovely
tough as
lady.
Nails.
Well, the point, it was a disconnect, you know, in terms of where I was going was like where Jesus was going. Yeah, do you really want Jesus to move in your life in regarding this issue? You know, and of course, her answer really said to me, of course I do. What do you think? You know, but
there are some folks that do not want to be healed.
No,
now,
they don't.
As a chaplain, I come across folks who they kind of find, I wouldn't say it's a comfortable position, but it's an easier position just to be chronically ill.
Yes.
I don't want physical therapy. No. I don't want those pills. No, they just don't want anything. They want to stay in their, they're stuck.
Yeah,
they're stuck in this place, and I don't know why. But it could be fear of having to get up and go do things that they used to do, or fear of failing, maybe getting sick again. I don't know what that is.
It's well, and I don't mean to be not being judgmental when I say this, but I think as an accurate assessment of the many, many people I have in my 35 years of pastoring have prayed for healing, that there is a discernible fear over what's going to happen if I get healed. I'm not going to be the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And it also goes along with the length you've been suffering. Like this guy here in the story, 38 years. I mean, that's like a generation and a half. This guy has been coming to the pool every day, and at some point, nothing's happening. So he's coming out of a sense of duty. He probably has generated friendships with a lot of the guys that go to the pool for healing.
That's right.
And so he's kind of comfortable with this, you know? And along comes Jesus. And again, this is God's timing.
Right.
Here comes Jesus and gives him a chance to become a new man. And the first, when he says, do you want to be healed? The guy says, well, you know, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water's stirred up, you know. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. You know, it's like, I'm just a victim here. Mm. You know, Jesus doesn't take any of that because Jesus knows what our heart is. The guy really did want to be healed. Why would he come in the beginning?
That's
why
right.
would he spend 38 years? But after a while, it gets scary. And so Jesus worked with him through that. And then that command, take up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
You read every healing story, where the person that needs healing is with Jesus. He always gets him to do something, or there's some action that has to be taken.
Absolutely. Go to the temple and tell them what I've done for you.
Right. It's an ownership thing. Yes, mm-hmm. I want to be healed. Now, there's a couple of stories where the sick person was not with Jesus. One is the centurion who came because his servant was dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the servant couldn't come. He was unable. But the centurion was a man of faith, being a Roman especially, but a man of faith who recognized Jesus could heal. That was the action. That was the ownership. And then the other one was Jairus's daughter, the president of the synagogue. And, you know, she died before they got to the house. But it was Jairus, his father's heart, his compassionate heart that came to Jesus. That was the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, and the same thing applies to us, that maybe that person that we want to be healed can't express their desires.
So we stand in their stead.
We step out in faith ourselves for them. That's the action. But it's an action taken in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and it's a heart action. And it is, I believe, you know, because Jesus, again, he's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He is not going to force anything on us.
Mm-mm.
But if we will make even the slightest utterance of acceptance, of desire and willingness, then the full onrush of God's grace hits us wonderfully.
Ooh, Holy Spirit's just running through us in the studio.
Amen. You can praise
see
the Lord.
Well, David's very animated anyway. But I called David the other day because my grandson was ill. And he had the whole thing, the respiratory, the GI, you name it, the high fever.
Yeah.
And I called David. David and I are accountability partners, and we share everything. And he's my go-to guy, so I called him, and we prayed. And I got to tell you, this little fella, 48 hours later, he's running around the house, bouncing off the walls, and doing his thing again. And
oh, praise God.
It just put a smile on my face when I got that phone call from my daughter saying he's better.
That is so cool.
I can't catch up with him. He's back in his usual mode of fast forward.
Which is great because, I mean, that was a serious, potentially serious thing. And, you know, we had prayed, and then after that, I happened to be here at the station, so the staff and I prayed together.
Thank you, David.
We had a Holy Spirit time. It was a great movement of God here. So, you know, I just know, and I give him the glory.
Amen.
You know, and that's another thing is, you know, if you're people, some Christians are afraid of praying for healing. And if you ask them, and if you're one of them, then you're probably going to hear your fear, and that is, well, what if I lay hands on them and they don't get healed?
Wouldn't I look foolish?
Wouldn't you look foolish? Well, no, because you're doing what the Bible says to do.
Mm-hmm.
is to lay hands on the sick and pray for their healing. It's up to God to do that. It's like, it's the same thing with salvation. It's up to God to save people. You share your testimony.
Amen.
You share the word of God. You do these things. God's working, whether you know it or not. And just because when you snap your fingers, it doesn't happen. Let me tell you a quick story about myself.
Okay.
In 1981, I think it was, I went to a Assembly of God Church in Winter Haven that was hosting a preacher that I had been following, getting his audio tapes, but I never had a chance to meet him in person. Mm-hmm. And of course, the place was packed, you know. And I heard a really powerful preaching, and then afterwards they had healing prayer. Mm. And, you know, the Lord said, go up. So I went up, but I said, I didn't know what I was going to ask for. I was in pretty good shape, you know.
Yeah.
I was 30 years old, 31. And so when I got up there and the pastor came to me and he said, you know, what do you want prayer for? And I said, oh, heal my eyes. Because I had to wear corrective lenses and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad. I mean, I didn't have curb feelers on my ankles or anything like that to get around. I mean, I was okay. But he prayed for me. All right. That was 1981. In 2013,
mm-hmm.
okay, I went to get my driver's license. At that point, I was 63. And once you pass your 60th birthday or whatever, they just pile more stuff on you. They don't want to let you loose on the road, you know, without them doing their due diligence. So anyway, they tested my eyes. And for the first time since I was 14 years old, I did not need corrective lenses. My distance vision was incredible. And I went to see a eye doctor later for a regular checkup, 20/25. That's my distance vision. I still use cheaters to read. But the point is, that was from 1981 to 2013,
mm-hmm.
God waited. Wasn't me. I mean, I was perfectly, I'd even forgotten that I'd asked for prayer until I had that eye test. I kind of knew I didn't, you know, things were different because I could see better. But when that was confirmed, I gave God glory. And I'm doing it right now.
Amen,
so
brother.
We cannot determine the length of time God wants. Believe me, listen to me. It's not what you want. It's what God wants in order to bring that miracle into your life.
Whew.
We got about 30 seconds before we have to cut. Anything you want to say, brother?
Yeah, I'm going
to
go jog around the block.
Well, it's a hallelujah moment. And
it
I love this story because there's so much more we could yank out of it, but time is up. So I guess, well, I'm just going to have a really brief prayer. Just say, Father, all those listening tonight, I pray you give them a healing and a direction from your spirit about healing. Give them your wisdom and your peace and courage. Courage at all levels of their living. Courage to receive, to ask for healing. Courage to be an instrument of prayer that somebody else might receive it. And just to step out there in faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Barry, thanks for this. This was fun.
Let's
do this again.
Fun. Well, we'll do this in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
I know I'm yours. I'm so glad you found me.